So today's message is entitled Be Prepared on the 14th of January 24. I'm going to start with a reading from Genesis 6, verses 6 to 22. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Now clearly, it would have taken a very, very, very long time to build an ark like that. In those days, with no diggers, no cranes. I've just read someone's calculations based on Noah's age and the ages of his sons and their wives. And when you add everything up, it's considered to have taken between 55 and 75 years to build the ark. You don't think of it, do you? There's a saying that goes, if you want a mature oak tree growing in your back garden, you should have put a few acorns in the ground about 55 years ago. But if you still want an oak tree in your garden, then today is the optimum time. Start today, not tomorrow. I'm pretty sure that because God is by nature a very patient God, he was willing to wait all that time for Noah to carry out his instructions to the letter. But what if Noah had failed to believe God? What if he doubted what he heard and began to go along with the thinking of his immediate neighbours, who were presumably laughing at him and thinking he was an idiot or insane or on a different planet? How many times would you have gone back to God and said, "You did say an ark, didn't you, Lord? A big ark. And you did say put all living creatures in the ark. All of them, didn't you? I mean, this ark that you've described, Lord, is a very, very big boat, isn't it? One that can carry lots and lots of animals and my immediate family. And you did say pairs, did you? Male and female. Can you imagine having an order like that? I mean, Moses said, I can't go and speak to Pharaoh. I can't even speak properly. Well, he wasn't asked to build an ark. So Noah had to prepare for the future. And God had told him how he was to do that. And as difficult as it might have been to hang on to such a vision of the future, Noah, supported by his family presumably, somehow managed to just keep on going in that direction, working day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Sometimes, no doubt, being totally worn out and fed up with it and thinking, this is just ridiculous. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? And the people, all your neighbours, coming and going and mocking you because you're telling them that there's going to be this massive flood and you're all going to be drowned unless you turn to the Lord. But there is no rain around here. What do you need a boat for? In the Scouts, Scouting for Boys, Lord Robert Baden-Powell wrote, the motto, "Be prepared," means you are always in a state of readiness in mind and body to do your duty. And he says, as commissioners, we understand, quote, the value of having a vision, setting goals, and planning ahead. Having a vision, setting goals, planning ahead. That sounds like a really good idea, doesn't it? Both for us as individuals, as couples, as families, and of course, not without stating the obvious, the church. A vision, setting goals, and planning ahead. Now, we are in winter. It's the 14th of January. The days are still fairly dark, although it is getting lighter. And sometimes it's cold, wet, and it's dismal. And yet, I was walking Toffee the dog through the woods the other day, and it was uncannily calm and quiet, no wind, it wasn't freezing, and there was this slight feeling of winter warmth, if there is such a thing. You just detect some kind of energy that wasn't there a few weeks ago, a kind of a something's going on kind of thing. Well, I have to say that for the first time this year, I saw signs of preparation in nature going on. There are already snowdrop shoots appearing, and the little birds were very active on that particular day. The last time I went there, they weren't, but on this particular day, they were all over the place. Blue tits, cold tits, long-tailed tits, all grouping together and chattering about something, making a really loud chattering noise. And even the hedge sparrows were making a lot of cheerful noise in the bushes. They were preparing for the year ahead. They were looking at places where they might build a nest, attract a mate, bring up a family, all God willing, of course, but they were taking early steps to do just that, with a very clear objective. Not just to survive, but to prosper, to increase in number. Which, if you remember, you think back, that's what God put Adam and Eve on the earth for, to increase and prosper and spread and dominate in a good way. Now, this was all very encouraging for me, and it was fun to watch. And yet, further on in another wood, there was a totally different kind of sound. It was more of a screeching and flapping about kind of sound. Something I've never witnessed before in 65 years. It was two spotted woodpeckers that looked like they were in combat with each other. And I came to the conclusion that they were fighting over territory and making plans, again, for feeding and breeding. But they were clearly planning and preparing in advance for what they knew they had to do in order to not just survive, but to increase and to prosper. And on this particular occasion, it was a case of, I need this, and I need it now. And they were willing to fight over it. Neither of them seemed to get killed, because they both flew away in different directions, interestingly. But it was interesting to see that little birds were happy, clappy, and these two woodpeckers were combative. Nature is very interesting, I think. Sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's not funny at all. Along with all these amusing scenes comes a lightning speed sparrowhawk, a master aerial combat expert, moving with unbelievable agility and speed, with amazing eyesight. Very, very lightweight bird, but deadly to small birds. It's hungry and it really needs to eat. It's a carnivore, so anything else isn't going to work. So, anything that's not totally alert is a target and fair game. So if you happen to be a sparrow or a blue tit or a similar small bird, how do you increase your chances of survival? You have to stay alert. They tend to stay in groups a lot of the time, in cover, undercover, because it's easier for a hawk to pick off a straggler. Lions do that, cheetahs do that. Take the weaker one, the one that's on the outside, the slower one, or one that is exposed in some way, an easier target. And if it's difficult to stay alive in the great outdoors, don't think that it's any different for us as human beings in the church. We are currently going through a period of relative peace in this country. We're not at war, that I'm aware of. All the wars seem to be happening somewhere else. We may get involved in them. If we live, for example, in Israel or Gaza or Lebanon or Ukraine, we might be acting and speaking differently. But remember this, we may not be physically at war, but we are still in a struggle. Ephesians 6, 12 to 13 reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, it doesn't say if, it says when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand, to remain standing. Now, I don't think Paul is talking about the wars we hear about on the news. In fact, the people of the world probably wouldn't even be aware that there is a spiritual battle going on. That's my opinion. Very few people would perceive that Jews and Christians are a target for Satan. And not many people believe in the devil anyway. Nevertheless, Jesus defeated the devil and knows that he is real. And Satan is still working in darkness and in high places. And he has an agenda that is based on hatred rather than love. He knows that his time is short and he desires to take as many of us with him as possible. But for us, there's no need to be concerned or worried. If, that is, you already belong to Jesus Christ. If, that is, you have committed your life and future into his care. This is the sound advice we receive from that once reactive, impetuous, undependable disciple Peter, who was miraculously called to lead the early church once he had been transformed by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 5:7-9. This is Peter, the reformed person, advising us to cast all our anxiety on God because he cares for us. Be self-controlled then and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers and sisters, no doubt, throughout the whole world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Now, if you're a sparrow or a blue tit or whatever in the woods, you might be worried about a sparrowhawk. But we are not sparrows, are we? In fact, we're more important than birds. From Matthew 10:28-39, we're told not to be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. We are told, rather, to be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold just for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him or her before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth, Jesus said. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. So anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Ever wonder why you have trouble in your families with those that don't believe? Spiritual battle. So are you prepared? Be prepared. Are you prepared? When you became a Christian, if you can think that far back, or maybe it's a recent thing, did you realize at that time, I didn't, did you realize that your faith would cause separation and pain? Even within your own family, within intimate relationships? Did you know that? Unless, of course, sadly, when you're in their company, you're just like they are. You're not different. Are you, dare I say, a Sunday Christian? Do you have an effect on people who meet you? Is it the right kind of effect? Or do they see you as a good egg, entertaining, one of the boys, one of the girls? There's different kinds of preparation in life. You can get yourself educated. You can get yourself a good job. You can pay your national insurance contribution for about 35 years or so, and then you can prepare to get a state pension or work in the military for about 22 years, if that's still the case, and come out with a military pension. You can eat well, exercise well, drink plenty of water, keep warm, set up, sign up to Bupa if you're afraid of the NHS. I wouldn't blame you if you did. And you can prepare for old age. We all make plans hoping that things will go according to your plan, to our plan, don't we? But, come on, we never really know how things are going to turn out. None of us have a clue. Just look at a couple of proverbs from Proverbs 16, 1 to 3. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. And all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives, now there's a word, motives are weighed by the Lord. So commit to the Lord whatever you do, if you can commit it to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. And Proverbs 16:9, in his heart a man plans his course. He makes preparation, plans his course, but it's the Lord who determines his steps. He's the one who determines how you will succeed in those plans. It won't be the way you think, probably. Now, there's something else we need to be prepared for, and it's not just old age. It's called eternity. Not old age, it's beyond old age. It's called eternity. Ad infinitum. We are now living in times where the Word of God is being belittled and laughed at. I must feel a bit like Noah, actually. Not just by secular people who laugh and always have laughed at vicars and churchgoers and do-gooders and Bible bashers, and not just them, but now people who call themselves Christian. What? What? And even so-called leaders of Christian denominations. What? How can that be? Are you ready? And are you prepared for a time when good is called evil? Are you prepared for when evil is called good? It's just round the corner. How will you react when Bible-believing Christians, as in us, maybe? Those who love Jesus and try to honour him are seen as extremists in the Christian world. Huh? Huh? What? How could we possibly become socially unacceptable, even by people who call themselves Christians, amongst other things? Now then, what am I talking about here? Well, if you look into it, you'll find out. But I'll just skirt around it so it might cause you to investigate. The current Pope, Francis, is altering the concept of sin such that what was called sin in the past is now becoming more socially acceptable and accepted in the Roman Catholic Church. Check it out. I'm not going to go into detail here, but check it out. If you honour the Pope and what he says more than you honour Jesus and what he says in the Word, tell me what you've just become. Tell me. It's very, very, very dangerous. I think I'd rather be a sparrow with sparrowhawks around me, because there you know it's in black and white. But the good thing about this is Galatians 6:7-8, that do not be deceived. Like it says somewhere else, that even the elect could be deceived if that were possible. So we're told by Paul, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. He only allows this to happen for a while. In the case of the ark, it took how many years? He wasn't being mocked. He was planning how to deal with it. And he's planned already how to deal with what's happening in the world today. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit then will reap eternal life. Eternal life. That's eternity, isn't it? Eternal life is eternity. So how can we be properly prepared? Are we prepared? Have you done everything that you can do up to today? Is there something left undone that could be done? We really, really need to know. I don't mean just read. We need to know what the Bible says. Reading it and knowing it are not the same thing necessarily. It's got to go in and find a place in your heart so you know a truth. If you don't know the truth, you'll be fooled by people like Pope Francis. Because, believe me, part of my thinking can fall in line with what he's saying, and I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong, but my intelligence tells me, well, yeah, I can understand why that makes sense. But if you don't know what you stood on, if you don't know what your foundation is, you'll be picked off in the end, or you won't be taken. The Lord won't take you. You've got to make a decision and stand on it. I'm going to finish with a reading from Matthew 24, from verses 37 to 44. Now, this is Matthew in the New Testament, referring back to Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, right up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. You're not telling me that Noah hadn't told them all that time. They just didn't believe it. And that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at a handmill and one will be taken and the other will be left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Whether it be the rapture or whether it's your day to go home. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, wouldn't he? And he would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And if you do not expect him, you didn't expect it. You were unaware that it was happening. And yet, you could have been told 100 times, these are the signs. These are the signs in the world. The signs in the church, the signs of apostasy are there now. So we need to make sure that our foundation is on the rock. The rock is Jesus Christ alone and his word. And if it's anything else, if it's a denominational thing, oh dear. If it's anything other than Jesus Christ and the rock, his word, then we are being deluded and God cannot be mocked. Father, we thank you that you've given us security. You've given us all that we need for salvation, Lord. You've even prepared good works for us to do in advance, Lord, of us being saved. And we just need to find out what they are and to comply with your will, Lord, to do whatever you've called us to do. With a happy heart, if possible, but do it anyway. Lord, I ask you to bless this message and open the hearts of those who's got hard hearts, Lord, and to wake up those who are being lulled asleep by false doctrine and apostasy. I pray it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.